talk about the man and the woman slapping the meat in the middle of the ring and the stories that they're telling in the process. Anyway, I'm GB. You got Matt. You have Jake. How dare you? And of course, don't forget, if you like what you're seeing here, make sure you check us out. You can check us out on Blue Sky at rebookedpod.com. Yes, rebookedpod.com. Follow us over there. You can also check us out on Discord. Leave a comment section down below. If you are a regular listener of Rebook, do us a solid. And in the comment section, just put like one of those little wrestler emoji icons. Okay, do just it. Do us a solid. It. You know, because we need that shit. Okay,
we have wrestler emoji icons.
You know, there's a little emoji. Yeah. There's a little wrestler, a grapple, and they're going.
It's like Greco-Roman. Okay. They're in the singlets.
Yeah, exactly. But Jake, what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, Jeebles, we're going to be talking about the Elimination Chamber, and we're going to be talking about each and every woman that is so far confirmed for said battle, and we're going to be making the case for who we think could win and go on to WrestleMania.
Whew, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But, yeah.
I mean, we can't just end it there because, of course, there's also a men's Elimination Chamber match. So we are going to also make the case for each of the three that have already been announced or qualified for that matchup as well. And we're going to see who wins each argument.
That's right. Because here on Rebooked, we believe in inclusivity and talking about everything, everything and all the good things. Speaking of everything, let's actually go ahead and jump right into it. We got news hot off the press. That came from Monday Night Raw on Monday, and it's like a Friday.
Four days later.
Jey Uso, my boy
gets... That's kind of lukewarm off the press.
It's true. Challenge has been laid. Jey Uso will be fighting Gunther at WrestleMania. I don't want to say I am disappointed because I am not. But I also will say that it's not the most surprising thing in the world that they decided to go this route. And I'm not like, you know, one of those haters that's going to be like, this is not going to be good, because I've enjoyed both of the matches that these two have put together. The Saturday Night Main Event matchup was phenomenal. I really enjoyed that one. So I have no doubt that this is going to be another great match. And it fits the story that they were telling with Jey Uso and with Gunther. Thing is that, like, I don't know why it doesn't have the same kind of oomph, Matt, and I don't know why. Do you feel that way, or you feel the opposite?
Yeah, no. I think it's one of those things. The writing was on the wall since before the Rumble.
Yeah,
like that we would maybe go this way, even though we didn't expect Jey to win the Rumble. I think, given the way they were telling the story, there was a good amount of people, I think us included, who thought maybe Jey would then be the Elimination Chamber guy, right? And then go on to face Gunther. We were thinking Cena or somebody, whoever, winning the Rumble. And then Jey would be very likely one of those guys to maybe win the Chamber and face Gunther.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine. I always think it's also it's a weird thing sometimes. Even though I think the story's been told fine, when the guy, especially the guy who wins the Rumble, the match we're go to isn't really a fresh match, or like doesn't feel like they literally just did this match.
Yeah.
And now we're supposed to feel like it's bigger. It is. It's on a bigger stage. But this exact match for that exact title literally happened like less than a month ago.
Yeah.
And now we're putting it on it. It's a little weird. Again, it's not unheard of. It's been done. But like that always takes a tiny bit of the wind out of the sails. As opposed to something we either have never seen or have maybe had, it's been a few years since these two have collided or something.
Yeah.
But it's like we're trying to make something new and keep this fire going, even though we've been already doing this for a little bit. I don't know if that made any sense or if I just rambled for.
No. I get it.
It's hard, totally pinned down, but yeah.
Yeah. Cause that, honestly, though, Jake, I think that is what Matt said. You know, in both the direct and indirect way is like that. It does feel a little like flat, you know, in comparison to what could have been now that, you know, that part of the WrestleMania puzzle has been solved. Are you on that camp as well of like, it's okay. I'm excited, but not, you know, not that pumped as I once was. No,
I'm excited.
You're excited. Okay. Let's go. Tell us why.
Well, because I don't have a shitty perspective like you two, but
no, okay. Go over, pop off.
Like, this is how I kind of look at it, is like, there've been so many times where we're in shoot sports, as we call it on our Discord, join the link below.
That's right.
But, you know, in shoot sports, there's been so many times where we've gotten into the playoffs and two teams play in the playoffs that just played late in the season. And one team beat the crap out of the other. Wasn't even a ball game, right?
Yeah.
And we go into this game thinking it's just going to be the same thing. We just did this with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We were like, well, we just saw this Super Bowl. We just saw the Eagles and the Chiefs. And it seems like the writing's on the wall with that because it's Pat Mahomes. And it's a,
yeah.
But what happened? One of the most epic ass whoopings we've seen in a Super Bowl happened on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what could happen at WrestleMania. I know that, like, it just happened and they just had their match, and it's like we barely have the bad taste of that Saturday night's main event out of our mouth. And I get that. But, like, isn't the whole point of Jey Uso, like, perseverance and grit,
yeah,
and trying to do something that people continue to tell him that he can't do? Isn't this just the Cody Rhodes story told with someone else? Because we had the same thing with Cody Rhodes. We just saw him lose at WrestleMania. So now we got to watch him win the Royal Rumble again. And now he's going to go to Mania. And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same story being told a different way. I understand and as I'm sure you guys too, the competitive side of me. I can't tell you how many times I've said this in it, playing NBA 2K with buddies, playing Marvel Rival with buddies, where we just get trounced or we get beat and the game's over and it's like, shit, guys, I know we can beat that team. We weren't our best.
Yeah.
I know that we can beat that team. Yes, they're good, but like, there's more in us, and whatever it is that we got to do to pull it out, we got to do. That's the same story that Jey Uso is going through. He's people see this as a, you know, I beating his head against the wall and hoping that he'll make a hole.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the definition of insanity. You can't do the same thing over and over again. And if you get the same result, then it's, why are you still doing it? But it's different for Jey. It's a thing of pride for Jey. He doesn't want to take the easy road out, and not to say that Cody Rhodes is the easy way out. It's certainly not. But
yeah.
I just feel like this is about Jey Uso proving something to himself more so than proving something to other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun storyline. I find that relatable.
Yeah.
I find that relatable. I like a competitor, a face who dusts himself off and says, I can do this. I can still make this happen. That is so relatable. And even still, the crowd is so super over. Like, we want him to win.
Yeah.
We want him to win. And I think even though it was kind of an obvious choice, like when he won, who he would be challenging, but it's still, I think it's still great. And I'm still on board for it.
Yeah. I think you both make really, really good points. And I mean, we're fans of Jey. So regardless, we're always going to be pumped to see his story kind of come to a conclusion. I think that a little bit of criticism is a touch fair only because it's like, the then story.
What was the point of the Saturday night main event? I get that.
Yeah, like I think that I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think it kind of goes back to like what we were talking about before with the Toni Storm and Mariah May story, right? Where it's like if we're going to be critical of that, even though that's turned out really well, and we know that, you know, this more than likely is going to turn out really well, then I still think we can, as fans of narrative, can lay down a little bit of criticism. And I would say for sure the pacing of it was a bit haphazard. It didn't feel cohesive. It was like one time Jay challenges Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. He loses. Then he kind of just like moves on with his life. Then Gunther loses the belt. Then all this other happens with the IC title. Then Jey Uso gets like this surprise win onto Bron Breakker, who just wins the IC title. Also that they can have Jey Uso show up to an episode of, I think it was SmackDown, with the Intercontinental Championship next to Roman Reigns, which was like, okay, hey, cool, right? That was a really dope shot. Like you're emphasizing that Jey Uso is flying off on his own. And yes, it is at the expense of the Intercontinental Championship, but it's a good use of the Intercontinental Championship. And then he loses it and then kind of just like moves on, forgets about it. And while all this is going on, is like dealing with all this bloodline stuff, while at the same time still being like, I'm main event Jey Uso and I'm going to go off on my own. And then like randomly just walks in and says, hey, Gunther, I'm going to challenge you for the belt. And then is like, yeah, sure, we'll do this match. Loses. And then the Rumble, Gunther literally comes out and says, I'm not going to give you another challenge because I beat you already two times. And then what? Next week, then he comes out, sweeps his legs, and then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, I'm going to challenge him instead, and Gunther accepts. That part is like, that's where I'm kind of missing the I'm not seeing the cohesion there, you know? So, but I'm okay with it because I'm still looking forward to the match regardless.
So what should he do then? Quit?
What do you mean?
Should Jey Uso just like stop trying to?
No. I don't think that is the case at all. I think that it's just a matter of the way that they're telling the story is just a little bit like you're fitting a square block into a circle hole sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, and not to say that it sometimes doesn't work.
But it's also Jey Uso.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, to be fair.
You know, I mean, the guy was a so-called tag team specialist and had to find his place and had to find his way to connect with people. And he finally did. The other reason that I like this story, I mean, this story is essentially a sports entertainer versus a wrestler at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this story is. It's two people who could not be more diametrically opposed.
That's true.
About how they go about business on the biggest stage in this business.
Yeah.
Also, one thing I wanted to bring up, and I mean, I've been sitting here while you guys have been talking, trying to rack my brain, and I've taken a lot of bumps, so it's taking a while. I'm trying to think of the last guy to win a world title who like really truly worked up their way in this way over a long period. Who wasn't brought to the main roster or whatever immediately as like a big deal. Cause there's some people who have won it quickly or maybe even like won a mid-card title for like Damian Priest. No, I think he had a bit of a journey, but when they brought him from NXT, he was Triple H's guy. He was kind of put in a good position right off. Usos were like a FCW tag team that like got a little bit of TV time on Raw. Then they would be gone for like, they were like that true like jobber to main event kind of story. I'm like, who was the last
paint, they used to world paint their champion faces and do a haka before they came out.
I mean, these guys are the WWE system. They are the WWE system, you know, like from start to finish, right? Like, I mean, these dudes are going to start, they started their careers in WWE or in the WWE system, and without a doubt, they're going to end their careers in the WWE system. They have reason.
I'm just trying to think, who was the last guy to win a world title that wasn't like, felt like kind of a chosen one, so to speak, or like a propped up, who like grinded through all the ranks?
Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, maybe, but
I mean,
it was a weird NXT time, but to a degree, yeah.
Yeah, but he wasn't the chosen one. You know, he could.
I mean, all the Shield guys were put in prominent positions for a reason. I mean, even I would say Kevin Owens.
Yeah,
even same thing when he first won that title. It was kind of he was always positioned as kind of a main player and everything like that from NXT on. And I'm just trying to maybe Brian.
Yeah, well, look, I think we'll leave the question to you lovely people who are watching and listening right now. What do you think about Jey Uso picking Gunther? Are you excited? Are you not excited? We want to hear from you. Look, I think the overall consensus, Jinder Mahal. Well, that was a unique situation, right? If I remember correctly. But the point I was going to say is, you know, we're excited regardless. I think it's going to be great no matter what, because Jey Uso is a dynamic, entertaining performer. And Gunther, we didn't even really talk about Gunther in this. And he unfortunately gets lost in the shuffle of the story of the main event. Because, you know, when you think about WrestleMania, you always think about big sweeping changes and blah, blah, blah. So guys like Gunther, who are just like so damn good, kind of just fall to the wayside in the conversation. And also, I will say too, it does suck that it's Gunther again that is kind of like the one that falls at the expense of someone else. You know, like it happened last year at Mania with Sammy, but he's also just so damn good in that role.
That's also the part you play as a heel.
As the part you play as a bad guy
to be conquered.
That's very true. It's very true. I'm more thinking of the guy, but I do understand exactly what you're talking about regarding the character that he's playing. So anyway, we want to hear from you guys. But the guy was also
for 85% of his time.
Yeah, he held the Intercontinental title.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
UK title for like
he's not
years.
Exactly hurting for
yeah. He's he's doing okay. He's doing okay. Yeah. The Elimination Chamber is coming up right around the corner. Well, maybe not. I didn't feel like it. Time's elusive at this point. It's all meaning. It truly doesn't. But the good thing is we use wrestling to dictate movement of time. So we have the Elimination Chamber on the horizon, and we have two big matches there, the women's and men's Elimination Chamber. Now, the winner of that match will get to challenge whoever is not chosen by the Royal Rumble participants. So in the instance of the men, it will be Cody Rhodes. So whoever wins the Elimination Chamber will go up against Cody Rhodes. And then for the women, we don't know yet because Charlotte hasn't made a decision. Correct me if I'm wrong. So, yeah, we'll find that out soon. In any case, it is now time to talk about, speaking of Charlotte, the Women's Elimination Chamber matchup, because some big things have happened here, fellas. Now, before we get into this, I do want to say that this week we're going to talk about Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, and Bianca Belair. There's going to be a little bit of a twist, but more on that in a second. Next week, though, we're going to talk about Bayley and then the results of Chelsea Green versus Naomi and then Roxanne Perez versus Raquel Rodriguez. And then it will be the same thing for the men, but I'll talk about that when we get to it. So here's how it works. We have our three options and there are three of us. So each one of us is going to have to make the case as to why you think they're going to win the Elimination Chamber. And in order to do this, we're going to select a number from between 1 and 3. So let's see here. Matt, you'll go first.
Do I pick the number or you?
I'm going to assign it to you. Matt, okay. You're going first. And the number you're getting is 2. Number 2, which means you are getting Alexa Bliss. Matt, you have to make the case for why Alexa Bliss will win the Elimination Chamber.
Am I going now?
Go, yeah, go for it.
Watch the Royal Rumble.
Over. Boom, yeah, exactly.
Biggest pop of the night.
Can you give me a little bit of time to get my freaking graphics up? You bum?
I'm sorry, I'm efficient.
I mean, okay, let's go for it. Okay.
Episode's a little shorter.
Here we go. I appreciate that. You pains in my ass. Okay. There we go.
You asked us to do this show.
Yeah.
You watch the Royal Rumble. All right, fair. But the thing is, Let's analyze a little bit further, though.
I'll extrapolate. Not that I need to, but if you're going to force me to, that's fine. legitimately. So off of that point, though, she clearly, and I think it is a testament to the kind of effect she's had on the fan base. The idea that, two years?
Yeah.
Dude, I remember growing up as a fan and when, like, for example, when I remember when Triple H tore his quad and like was gone for like 7 months in 2001 that or whatever.
Felt like generations.
Forever.
Generations.
Like, he's back.
Yeah.
And going into the Rumble. Oh my God. 2 years. It's almost unfathomable to my like 13-year-old brain.
Yeah.
So like the idea that people remembered and were so happy she has that kind of star power, that kind of influence on the audience. I'm biased because she's a personal friend of mine and she's very, very nice and I like good things to happen to her. But like she's one of those people that people will always it's been since NXT. She has a likable way about her, even when she's being bad. She's adapted. She's gotten better and better every time she's come around. And she just has this magnetism that I think people want to see her in the spotlight. And I think she had, this is not your argument, Jake. Shut up. I thought I heard a chirp like you were gonna like
that's how passionate he is.
Debate mode.
Someone took student debate seriously in high school.
I wish I had it. Like honestly, she's so new back, so I don't have a lot of like, oh, see, she won all these matches or she's been on a roll. Or she doesn't have that recent resume that I can kind of lean on. So it's literally, it's just look at the influence and kind of impact she's had since returning. And I think that that is more than enough to give you the faith and confidence to put her in a prime position. Heading into the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, I agree with all of that.
What a way to jumpstart her story back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because I think what you could do, which would be fun, is she goes to Mania and loses. And maybe that's like what starts getting her back involved with the Wyatt Six.
Could be. Sure. Yeah, could be. There's definitely a world that you can go into the, like the Wyatt Six territory, because, and maybe that's why they haven't been on camera all that much lately. Cause it's like, hey, Alexa's coming back. Maybe we could do something with this. Who knows? But yeah, I also think too, you know, it's easy, right? Like a returning 2 year returning superstar who everyone loves at the main event of WrestleMania going up against like, you know, a Tiffany Stratton. It's easy. You know, it's a very easy match. It's very Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, you know, esque or whatever, right? Where you have like your seasoned veteran going up against the newcomer or so on and so forth. So, yeah. All right, cool. So that leaves us with Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair.
And have Alexa and like, say, Rhea faced off that much?
I don't know.
She hasn't with Tiffany at all. We know that.
I don't know if she has
with Rhea very much.
Maybe once on the way out, but it's been a while, so I don't know.
Well, 2 years.
It's been a minute. All right, so Jake, who wants to go between you and I? Do you want to rock paper scissors for it, or
I'm ready.
You want to go? Okay, you can go. All right, here we go. You got between one and two, and you are going to make the case for
between one and three.
Sorry, one and three. You're right. One and three, which I assigned to one and two. It's no big deal. I got it right. You are doing Liv Morgan. You are going to make the case for Liv Morgan.
All right. Well, she was number one on the list. That's why I was doing that. Anyway. Okay,
number one.
We need the best of three. We've had two matches between Liv.
Okay.
And Rhea. And we need the third. We need the third to put an end to it once and for all. That's my case for why Liv could win the Rumble or win the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still incredibly popular. I know a lot of people got tired of the seeing them fight so much, especially when it seemed like they were fighting and the title was never on the line and Rhea just somehow always won, or she just always came out and, you know, beat the shit out of everybody and left. So it never really felt like much of a competition. But like this would end it for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
If we did this, because I think Charlotte's going to pick Tiffany. Because they're so similar. I don't think Rhea needs any kind of popularity bump. She already gets like,
yeah,
you know, a massive response when she comes out. So I think it'd be better for her to face Tiffany, who's kind of a younger version of herself, and Liv. And I know people are going to be like, well, but that's just the same as Jey Uso and Gunther fighting, right? Because we just saw them lose, and we just saw.
Yeah.
But like I said, this is it. I think like maybe we could have some kind of like, you know, Rhea's like, okay, I'll fight you this last time, but this is it. If you can't beat me,
we're done.
It's done. Yeah. For as long as I have the title, you can't challenge for it.
Yeah.
It's over. Something like that. I could also see this going. I could see this being some kind of, I could see it being a cage match or something like that.
I was just going
to say. To keep Raquel out.
Yeah.
Or to keep other members of
and you get something different, right? Because you're going to get.
And you get something different.
Because you're going to get four singles matches, right? Definitively on the card. You might as well throw in a spanner for one of them. And, you know, what better to do that than a cage match at Mania, you know, would be really, really fun. I like that. If they were to go that route, that would be fun.
I mean, Liv got busted open this week. She's not averse to, like, you know, going hard in that ring,
hardcore,
and I think seeing them fight in a cage match, you know, like Rhea picking up Liv and just throwing her around like one of those old wrestle buddies would be incredible. You know, seeing Liv do some crazy shit off the top of the cage back down onto Rhea. I mean, that would be fun.
Someone will get hurt, and I will be very scared. God, fearful. That would be.
I see a moment where Rhea picks up Liv and throws her onto the cage, and she grabs on like a little spider monkey, climbs up top, and you know, and they fight up there. And I think it could be a real fun match.
Yeah,
still,
that could be pretty dope. Damn, yeah, that you know, and that was the hardest one for me when I was like when we were writing down the script and just looking at what the options were, you know, what we're going to talk about, because. Obviously, like some of these matches, especially with the final two, very out there. But, you know, knowing that the perspective like Raquel Rodriguez is going to be in the matchup, maybe I think adds a little bit of a interesting spin to it, which actually takes us to the final competitor to talk about in this one. One half of the tag team champions, Bianca Belair. So now after I'm done saying why I think Bianca will win or could win or should win. I do think that there's something happening here with the tag titles. You guys are seeing it too, right? Like pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I don't really need to say that much, but I think the long and short of it is essentially, I would not be shocked if you get Naomi and Raquel in there and then they just, you know, eliminate one another and that leads to a tag team title match at Mania or something to that effect. I could see that being the case. That said, though, how cool would it be if that happens, but Bianca Belair wins and she wins the Elimination Chamber. And this time around, she's like, you know what? I'm going to go for the belt that I haven't held yet. She goes for the World Heavyweight Championship, right? Because what's her face? Charlotte already picked Tiffany Stratton because you're going to get that whole, you know, generational conflict like you were talking about, Jake. But with Bianca Belair, you get like literally a marquee matchup. This is like your two best performers in the company. Like in ring, you will be hard pressed to find two better wrestlers than Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. Can you imagine them and just going like it's like Io Sky and Rhea Ripley, right? That's another banger of a matchup on the horizon. So I think like like you set yourself up with two of your biggest stars, and you can even get this really cool angle with the tag team championships, kind of like what they did with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens when they fought for the tag titles, or you know, I'm trying to think what was like Damian Priest, right? Like that one when like, you know, they lost the belts, but then he cashed it in and won the title that night. Like you can kind of go in some really fun directions with this, with them losing the tag titles, but then Bianca winning and then setting up Jade and Bianca, because why didn't Bianca try and like fix things when Jade got jumped? Turns out it was Naomi the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, come on. There's so much there. There's a lot of directions that they can go in. It just feels out of place for Rhea Ripley, which I don't know if that is necessarily going to work out. But that being said, though, yeah, we kind of see like what's happening here with the tag titles, which I'm not mad about it. I actually think it's going to be okay. I think
there's some good fodder there.
Yeah.
Whether it's up leading up to Mania or post Mania or whenever they want to bring Jade back into the picture, I think there's plenty to work with.
Yeah, there really is. Moving on, though, to the men's chamber, we have similar situation here. Logan Paul qualified by defeating CM Punk, by defeating Rey Mysterio, even more worse. So Logan Paul's in the match, but then we're waiting on the results of Seth versus Finn and Jacob Fatu versus Braun Strowman versus Damian Priest, which, good God, that is going to be a freaking bloodbath. That's a lot of meat.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It feels like it's telegraphing that Priest wins.
Yeah, because of Fatu and Braun.
I think
no other match qualifying is a triple threat.
That's not true.
One was.
They just did one on SmackDown with Drew, LA Knight, and Jimmy.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, right, that was right, the. Right. But there was only one triple threat on each side. But yes.
Right. Yeah. But still, I feel like
you're not wrong. You though. Know, everything you said is right.
The players. Yeah.
Everything you said is right. Okay, so here we are. So it's listed out as first will be Drew, second will be CM Punk, and then third will be John Cena. So this time around, Jake, you can go first. And you will get. Oh wait, did it? Oh, I think I hit the button and it came out as number one again. So I'm gonna do it again because I don't want you to get number one. There you go. Oh, number three, John Cena. Jake, make the case why John Cena wins the Elimination Chamber. Well, God damn
it! If I may borrow a play out of Matt's playbook, he's John fucking Cena. I mean, I mean, he's chasing number 17. He's chasing history.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it is his last Royal Rumble. It's his last Elimination Chamber. It's his last WrestleMania. It's his last year as a full-time professional wrestler, maybe wrestling at all. He is, like, pretty much, I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore, if not the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
How can you not put him in that position against someone like Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
I mean, like that, it's
so perfect. It's so perfect.
Old Superman versus the new Superman.
It's so perfect.
Yeah. I just think, I mean, that one's easy. Give me another.
Because it's literally also, too, it's also, you know, that once in a lifetime gimmick all over again, right? Like when you manage, I mean, because this is actually that if John Cena actually does stay retired, which he seems like a guy who, if he's done, if he says he's done, he's done. He's
a man of his word.
Yeah. I don't really, he doesn't come off as like the Ric Flair type. I believe that. Yeah. That I mean, honestly.
But again, to, you know, double down on what we talked about before on this show, I don't think he should win.
Yeah.
I think it's more fun if he doesn't. I think he could very well get down to the bottom, too. And I think the winner might pin John Cena.
Mm.
I could see something like that happening.
Yeah. You know,
kind of doing the same thing that we did at Royal Rumble.
He fails again, where comes up short.
He just barely, and he's like, screw it. It's a triple threat now.
Yeah. Ooh, and he starts throwing his weight around.
He starts throwing it. He's already done it once.
Yeah.
He's already broken that seal. What's to keep him from doing it again?
Yeah.
Query though, to on that point, because I excuse
query.
Me.
Ooh,
I was ready to go.
Query.
So no, when we last talked about that, it actually stirred up some conversation, and I think some points that we didn't address when we talked about it the last time, about this idea of like, oh, John Cena should live up to that, never give up, and we should see him fail. A lot of people in the discussion of that episode brought up like he's kind of been failing for the last several years. He hasn't really been in a top title feud.
Sure.
In what, since like the mid-teens or whatever? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just pose that back to you, Jake, of like, we talk about this idea of like, oh, should we see him struggle to get back? I have opinions either way, but since you're the one making the case, how do you feel like that plays in? Because he has been, in theory, failing in WWE kind of for a while.
Right.
Should we continue to see that? Do you still think that works?
I think this is a different Cena. I think this scene is more focused than the one that we have seen. The last one was just the happy-go-lucky. I'm happy to be here, and I love all you, the WWE universe, and you make this possible. And this son of a bitch wants a title now.
Mm.
This and so you think that makes him more 17. Likely to fail?
No, I think it makes it. I think what it does is it's. It's the reason why I think it's more interesting if he does fail. It's not saying that he wasn't trying or giving any effort then, but like he was a part timer then. I mean, he's still technically a part timer now, but he's, you know, making more of an effort to be there, to be at these events and that sort of thing. But it was just like, you know, it felt like Cena was being used as a let's build up this guy or. You know, that kind of thing, which is fine because I've seen as that kind of guy. You can tell he likes putting over younger talent to, I mean, well, that would also be an argument from the rest of the internet. So that Cena likes putting people over. But I think later on in his career, he's gotten that way. Right. And I think. Yeah, I don't know. I just think this is a different Cena who is more focused. He is driven by that number 17. So now that he is putting in that effort and he has that focus and that drive, now it's interesting if he continues to fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I like it. You know, I like the idea of like, of Cena being like, shit, has the game passed me by? Am I not like, I'm John fucking Cena.
Like, yeah. That's where my head's at.
You know, like, yeah, that's kind of how I think is that if he starts having that kind of attitude and then starts throwing his weight around more, I think that's really interesting character work for John.
Yeah.
And as someone who is enjoying acting more and playing characters and is like, look, is Cena the best actor in the world? No. Does he go for it 100%? He absolutely does. And I feel like John is now more interested in character work, which is why he's going toward acting, because he enjoys that aspect of it. He enjoys that side of it. Of telling the story. His body can't do all the stuff that he used to do, or can't do it as much as he used to. So let's lean into the character stuff. Mm. That's the direction that I can see us going with Cena.
Yeah. And with Cody, you know, you really got a guy there that you could bounce off of with some really fun character building and, you know, the promos and the dialogue and
Yeah. And it's especially interesting now that Cody's like done some darker things recently. Like it's just, are we seeing just a darker side of Cody? Is this foreshadowing to something bigger coming down the horizon? I don't know, but it's all very intriguing.
Very, very much so. All right, cool. Good sell on that one. All right, let's do this. I'll go next and Matt, you'll go last. Number two, I got CM Punk. Oh, I love talking about CM Punk. So CM Punk winning the Elimination Chamber.
To be fair, we can't see these numbers, ladies and gentlemen, so we don't know if he's just
hold working on, the crap out hold of us. Hold on.
There is no transparency
go.
Here.
Here
on
you
this.
Go. Here you go. You can see the number. Number two right there. Okay, you bums.
Fact check this random.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, right? So we need more independent fact checkers. Okay, so let's talk about CM Punkius winning the Elimination Chamber. Very likely thing to happen because CM Punk, by hook or by crook, wants to main event WrestleMania. And now he has the clearest pathway that he's ever had in his entire career outside of having the WWE Championship and fighting The Rock and then losing to The Rock right before WrestleMania, to main eventing the show of shows and going up against Cody Rhodes. It makes so much sense. But here's the thing, right? Here's where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get to a CM Punk winning the Elimination Chamber, but I do believe that CM Punk will be in the match no matter what, because I think that that is where he's going to call in his favor to Paul Heyman. He's going to do something to get himself into that matchup one way or another. I just have this feeling that it's going to be John Cena, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes in the triple threat for the title, because he needs to be in the main event. So I do believe that no matter what, CM Punk's going to find his ass in that matchup, whether it's by winning the Elimination Chamber or by cashing in a favor. Because and how does Paul Heyman do that? God knows. But, you know, I mean, he's on the video game box, so he might have some pull.
But that's not the argument we're making. We're making the argument for winning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He could, and he could win. Now, the other thing, too, is in him winning the chamber, I mean, he'll more than likely do so by pinning Cena right at the end. Right. I mean, I cannot see a world that this doesn't come down to Cena and Punk right at the end, because those are the two guys with the most to lose, so to speak, going into Mania. Because, you know, they're both kind of in a very similar story, just one's a lot more public about it than the other one is. How long is CM Punk realistically going to keep on going, right?
Right.
The guy just came back from a massive injury. His last feud nearly broke him. So what, like, he's now supposed to, like, be the shepherd of the company moving forward? No, he's in a similar position of John Cena. So they're both very desperate. I could see both of them pulling off some crazy shit to try and get the win. But the thing is that John Cena's always had it over CM Punk, but maybe outside of that one time in Chicago, but maybe this time CM Punk gets his man, gets his day, and gets his main event against Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania by hitting the GTS smack dab in the middle of the ring onto a John Cena, and that's it. He going to Mania.
I think the biggest case for CM Punk main eventing WrestleMania is that he hasn't.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's the biggest case that you can make. And
look,
I like
CM Punk,
idea.
Cody Rhodes
like
sells. It sells.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the idea of it being a triple threat, because that way Cody doesn't have to eat the pin.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, I think that would be really interesting to, like you said, have.
So you think somebody else
GTS
would win?
Cena.
What? Someone else
in a potential Mania match. You said that Cody wouldn't have to eat the pin. So you're assuming Cody would lose, though.
I think that he could. Yeah, I'm just saying it gives you that opportunity to take the belt off of Cody and not have him take the pin.
Sure. And you're also like, think about if you're really playing the long game here and you're being really smart about it, right? And Matt, maybe you could shed a little bit of light on this, and then we'll move on to the last one, which is Drew McIntyre. But it feels like when Cody beat Roman, it was like, okay, you just king made someone, right? Like, this guy just beat the dude that was like the longest reigning champion of the modern era in professional wrestling in WWE, right? So that is a big deal. But who beats him, right? And you haven't really been able to find that individual that you can anoint with that win. But you could better do that by having a veteran or a legend beat him, and it doesn't have the same kind of stinging feeling, right? Like, you know, this way it's not like, oh, you know, we got to build up this like plucky, you know, like a Jey Uso type to defeat him, right? You don't have to do that. Yeah. Now it can actually just be like a CM Punk or a John Cena or even a Randy Orton. Like, those are a little bit more believable. Is that like, do you feel like that could maybe be one of the directions that they try and go in with this?
I don't think it's, I don't think there's as much of a worry about that as we're making. I think for something like that, with Jey Uso, it's a very particular story and we're building him up. I think Gunther's a perfect opponent for that because of the history laid out. With Cody, getting the belt off him whenever you want to do that, I think it's just about, and I think they've been better about this in the last year or two, is it the right story?
Yeah.
If you can make anything work, that's what wrestling's always been about, with the right character at the right moment with the right story. I don't care if it's this legend versus this up-and-comer or this mid-card guy versus this main event or whatever, blah, blah, blah. How long has he held it? Has he held it for a month? Has he held it for 4 years? The right story and the right character can make anything work. So the build, if CM Punk does win, if that build is right with him and Cody, that could be the moment. I mean, it could be Punk getting what he always wanted, winning a main event at WrestleMania that he never got to quite do. Or it could be Cody establishing his dominance on the top of the mountain that is WWE even further. Again, it's all how you weave. So truly, truly anything could work.
Yeah.
But I do love that. I mean, before the Rumble, that was one of the things I love that they do. They had the champions in these like one-on-one promo offs, like setting you up to like, ooh, I would like to see this. Ooh, Cody and John, I'd like to see that. Yeah. Oh, Cody and Jay, I mean, they're former friends. They made you interested in all these potential one-on-one matches. I know we're throwing triple threats and stuff in there, but like, there's intrigue in many directions, which I think is a good thing to have heading into Mania this year.
Yeah, good call on that one. Well, that leads us to one of the most intriguing men in all of WWE, Drew McIntyre, number one. Matt, you got to make the case. Why does Drew McIntyre win the Elimination Chamber? Which, by the way, that's very doable.
Oh yeah, of course it is. And you'll be happy to know that my brain totally misfired over the last few minutes. And because I watched Raw and I saw Logan Paul qualify, I assumed he was number three. So I was getting my argument ready for Logan Paul in my head. And I forgot about Drew. I forgot that we had four men already qualify.
Yeah.
I was about to do all the Paul puns, but we'll save that for next week.
Don't be so impulsive.
No, Drew, Gary, you took one. But no, man, Drew, I think, is like, you have the opportunity to show a lot of, even though we saw some of it play out last year, I feel like the ramifications of last year can kick into, even again, we saw so much him and Punk, the stuff with him and like Damian Priest, like we saw a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like depending again on how you tell this story, that could all be viewed as kindling on this Drew McIntyre flame, because he was already going into all that so mad at all the bloodline stuff. But then Punk just pissing him off all of last year, almost serving as a distraction to his goal of getting back to the world title, screwing over people like Roman Reigns, who punished him and all that. So he kind of was distracted from that thanks to Punk. Settled that. Didn't go in his favor, so he's even more pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hasn't gotten to settle his stuff with everybody, really. He is still a burning fire, and I think now is in prime position to make everybody pay. I mean, he has that same almost fire that that Seth had towards, you know, that the Kevin has towards Cody, of like the bloodline shit. We're still close enough to it where you could tie a little bit back to it without it being overplayed. We're approaching the point where we have to start leaving it behind.
Yeah.
But like, you, after everything you fucking did to overcome that stuff, that guy, he did all that crap to me too when I was trying to win the world. And you, like, you teamed with him. You're on this war games team with him, and all this stuff, you freaking moron. And then everybody get in the way. He's punishing Sami Zayn. He punished everybody on that team. all this stuff. So, like, again, as much as we saw a hater Drew and all that last year, I think that could be kindling on a fire that just sends him rampaging. And you know what? I would love to see nobody. I don't think many people would agree with me, but you take that again, you write it the right way. Drew pins everybody in that chamber.
Ooh.
Ooh.
He just
like some of them might be kind of hooker by crook, you know, a lucky situation, whatever. But like Drew goes on a tear and then Claymore's the head off of CM Punk or something to end it all. And he like it's the Drew McIntyre revenge tour finally on track, like Liv Morgan had with Rhea last year.
Yeah,
it's his turn to finally do that.
But then imagine how delicious it's going to be when CM Punk calls in his favor and makes that a triple threat.
Oh, shit, dude!
Dude.
I didn't even think about that. Bro, we've been looking at John Cena this whole time. When I think we should have been looking at Drew. I think Drew's going to win.
I don't know. All right, like
real talk. really. Okay, I'm just gonna lay it out there real fast, and then we'll move on to Jake's retro rippage. But really, we have the matches that are left over, right? So let's look at the competitors in the matchup, right? Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, John Cena. Then you have Logan Paul, more than likely Seth Rollins, and then it might be Finn. Which would be lame, because then it'll be Drew. Then it'll be Damian. And I don't know, but anyway.
I think it will be Seth. I think they're trying to stack, like they did with the Rumble. I think they're trying to stack everything leading to Mania to just overwhelm the audience. They're like, look at our roster. Look at our star power.
Yeah.
So matches like this, matches like the Rumble, I feel like... and for Finn is fucking amazing, but like I think they're just trying to stack it with... star power.
Well, and I'm also thinking about the stories as well, but it does feel like Damian and Finn are kind of done. So to do that again would be really dumb, you know, going into Mania. Now that I think about it, though, Jacob Fatu winning is
very possible. It's another one of those. I don't know if would you put him in, depending on how you're feeling about it, put him in if he's not going to win. Or would you rather just have him have some badass feud with somebody else? But, like Braun.
I don't know. Out of anybody, the man feels comfortable in a cage, as we've all learned.
Evidently.
He's going to have flashbacks. You put him inside
but
that cage.
But the reason why I think Drew is like very possible, though.
People.
The reason why I think Drew is very possible is because of everything like that laid out. Like, what was all of this for, you know, if not for Drew to get to the person, the ultimate person that like enabled Roman, you know, Cody,
the person that stole his last WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
He still hasn't really had his WrestleMania moment. He won it in front of nobody.
Yeah.
And then he got screwed over by Priest and Punk.
And Cody,
next one.
And Cody left he came back and was given, and you know, he got that big moment, and then Drew was like robbed of that, and he's already been robbed of that with, he lost a feud with CM Punk. So that's another element too, where it's like, you know, he lost that one. So,
Hey, I'll lose a feud if I can win a title.
That's I think that might be it. I don't know. This is, buddy. We got to see if this ends up happening. But, of course, we still have to make
who's the case. Winning the Elimination Chamber?
That, of course, takes us to the end of the show. And a new segment that we're doing. Don't have a graphic for it because I'm a terrible producer, but it is. Jake, why don't you go ahead and show the cards for the beautiful people. It is Jake's Retro Ripping.
Let's go. That's right. Every week we're opening up one of these some of the bitches that I found in my dad's closet.
Now,
over Christmas this year.
Now, you went to the community, our Rebook community, which, by the way, you can join on Discord. Very simple. Find the description down below and you can join us here. You can also check out rebookedpod.com. There's a link to the Discord on there as well. And you asked our community what number they wanted to pick. What number did they go for, Jake?
That's how we're going to do it from now on. Go into the episode spoilers channel and we're going to have a vote. All right. This week, we actually had a had to do a tiebreaker poll.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's right.
And the winner of the tiebreaker poll, we had two packs touch their feet simultaneously on the mat outside. So we had to have another had to have a winner. And today is number 10. All right. Number 10 is what won this week. So here we go.
All right. Let's see.
And now let's open this bad, Larry. And let's see. Oh, yeah.
Now, here we now it's important go. To note that these cards are absolutely worthless, but we we have found a lot of joy in seeing right. what's in these cards. Yeah. Okay.
Here we go. Starting off strong with the fabulous Freebird.
Oh, let's go. Legends. Yes, let's sir. Go. Okay.
Is that Jimmy Jam and Garvin? Yep.
Oh, and Jimmy Garvin.
Michael
okay.
P.S. Hayes, baby.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
All right. There's the first one. We have yet another Freebird? El Gigante.
Man, big star. Yeah. They were pushing that one. He's getting the Roman Reigns treatment.
Wait, he really his was. Favorite wrestler is Sting?
Why would you include that? I don't know. That's such a weird thing.
Hey, you got to pick between three wrestlers here. Pick one. Sting.
Here we go. Our next one might set up a match to go one on one with the Undertaker.
Oh my god.
Teddy Long.
Manager Teddy.
AKA Peanut Head, apparently.
Alias Peanut Head.
Oh my god. Peanut Head. Wow.
All right. We've got another Sting.
Okay. Is that a new one? Is that a new one? Oh, that's
whose
nice.
Whose motto is apparently, we're having fun now? This is like, oh, what was the show on Stars? Are we having fun yet?
Yeah. Oh,
Party Down.
Party Down.
Party Down. Yeah.
You know my motto.
So they stole that from Sting?
I guess.
You know my motto. We're having fun again.
We're having fun now.
We're having fun now. There.
Here we go. Terry Taylor is the
next the one. Rooster's back.
Oh, the
Rooster. Who apparently has so few interesting things about him, they just put his height and weight on the card.
Just.
Oh, Terry.
Poor Terry. Give the guy a break.
We've got another fabulous Freebirds.
Okay.
Ooh. This one just with information just about
from Michael P.S. Hayes. Yeah.
Favorite hold DDT.
That's right, because remember, a hold is just a wrestling move.
Any wrestling move is a hold.
Is a hold. And it's still like that or
wait a minute.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. We have Mr. Wall Street, who I think is IRS.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
That is 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Greed is good. Yeah.
Greed is good. He'll fit
Mr.
right in.
Mr. Wall Street.
Mike.
He'll fit right in old this administration. Look at him.
Oh, here we go. Lex Luger, baby.
Of course.
That meat mallet man.
6'5", 274.
From Boca Raton.
Just stout.
Just hell a style yeah. man. How many cards are in this pack?
We got four more cards. There's 12 per pack.
Wow, that's amazing. What great value.
Here we go. Oh, got the Steiner brothers.
Hey, nice.
With the dog.
Old Ricky and Scott Steiner right there.
Sick.
Love it. We have another Sting.
Jeez.
Who apparently has another motto, no pain, no gain.
Famously coined by Sting many moons ago, you know, because we're having fun now.
Well, they didn't say original motto. They just said famous.
That's true. Mm. That's true.
That's
we
fair.
We got one of these last week. It's a Southern Boys.
Southern Boys.
The Southern Boys.
Featuring Steve Armstrong.
The toughest opponent.
Whose favorite fabulous. Hold is a flying tackle.
It's a good hold. It's a good hold right there.
All right.
The best of holds.
And finally, we got the man, Ric Flair, with an early shout out to his daughter right there.
Charlotte North Kakalaki. There you go.
That completes
well done
today's retro ripping.
Nice. All right. Well, there you have it.
That's it, baby.
You got the rippage you wanted, people. The cards are there.
Yeah.
The heart is in the cards. But that is going to do it for us here today. We thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure, shout out to Mr. Wall Street. Hopefully he can get us out of this. Folks, make sure you join us next week, next Wednesday, where we're going to be right back here talking about AEW goodness. And then, of course, every Friday for WWE. Make sure you join us on Discord.
There has to be a story with Peanut Head.
And we will find it.
That had to have been an inside joke. And you know, Teddy was like, damn, guys, y'all had to put Peanut Head on my card.
You done put it on the card. Well, folks, for all of us Peanut Heads, we wish you Peanut Heads a wonderful weekend. Enjoy some pro wrestling. And we'll see you guys next week. Take care, folks. Peace. Later.